Creation. Written by Neri. Read by Opalsong. A fandom. Scum villain self-saving system. Rating. Explicit. Relationship. Mo Beijun, Shang Qinghua. Also tagged for. Identity reveal. Breeding kink. Miscommunication. Fertility issues. Stupid plot devices made them do it. Except they were already doing it. Produced for Marianas for ITPE 2023.
Forgive our sins, forged at the pulpit with forked tongues, selling faux sermons. 'Cause I am a new wave gospel sharp, and you'll be thy witness, a gentleman, if you're gonna preach. For God's sakes, preach with conviction. Sure, I come to the band, whoa, the conductor is beckoning me. Come, congregation, let's sing it like you mean it. No, don't you get it now, don't you?
Am I a bad person? Qinghua's voice rang out through the doors of Shen Qingqiu's quarters. Mo Beijun paused in the hallway.
Are you a bad person? Shen Qingqiu repeated slowly.
Mo Beijun tensed, frost gathered around his fingertips, but sputtered out immediately with an unpleasant prickle. Shen Qingqiu, for all his reputation as the model of an ever-serene peak lord, could be brutal with his words, and Qinghua had sounded so worried. Mo Beijun didn't know what he was going to do if Shen Qingqiu turned the sharp edge of his tongue on the soft spot Qinghua had just bared to him. Junshang didn't stand for anyone so much as casting a harsh look in his consort's direction, and with Mo Beijun's power weakened as it was right now. But he wasn't just going to stand here and do nothing.
Bro, are you fucking stupid? Shen Qingqiu snapped.
Mo Beijun relaxed. The tone was aggressive, but it was only the roughness of an older demon shaking a younger one by the scruff of his neck. Shen Qingqiu wasn't being mean.
Are you a bad person? You made me sit through 10 million words of trash. You sell out your characters, you spit on the rules of good writing, you cheapen the very concept of a novel. The things you put poor Bingha through. And now, you ask me if you are a bad person?
The words were punctuated with the sounds of a fan slapping down and Qinghua's squawks of protest. Although not, Mo Beijun noted, any actual sounds of pain. Mo Beijun shook his head, amused. Qinghua had told him that humans didn't hit each other to show affection, so Mo Beijun very carefully never hit him at all now, even though he liked him so very much. And yet, clearly, no one had ever told Shen Qingqiu. But then, their relationship was a strange one, and Mo Beijun felt no particular urge to understand it. There was the clink of someone setting down a fan, the splash of tea being poured.
So what's this about, then?
Shen Qingqiu said, back to his perfectly cultured peak lord tones.
There's nothing wrong with you that hasn't been wrong all along, so what brought this on?
Mo Beijun hesitated once more, hand pausing where it had been reaching for the door. It was unworthy to stand in the hallway spying on his own consort, but if Shang Qinghua was upset about something, he wanted to know. And ever since the whole situation in that fertility cave, Qinghua hadn't been very inclined to talk to him.
Bro, I created this world.
Qinghua yelled. Mobei Jun went still. Shun Qingqiu didn't say a word to deny Qinghua's claim, he noted. Although Mobei Jun hardly needed the confirmation at this point. He'd known for a long time that Qinghua was something special. Something very powerful. Ha! Junshan, who was ordinarily so wise and knowledgeable, hadn't wanted to believe it. But Mobei Jun had known. Qinghua's knowledge was boundless, far beyond what even a very skilled spy could ever hope to gain. Secret doorways, hidden treasures, ancient rituals, none were beyond his ken. And if Qinghua believed something to be true, all too often it turned out to be the truth, even if the thing he believed was objectively stupid and made no sense whatsoever. A god, a creator, yes. That sounded right.
I created him,
Qinghua shouted, sounding anguished.
I created my ideal man. I invented him specifically to my own personal tastes. And now he's a real person and I'm here and we have sex every day.
Yikes, said Shun Qingqiu, who had bafflingly prudish tendencies. Even though Mobei Jun had made sure to discreetly share some advice with Junshang, and also a small bottle of the clear liquid the southern succubi refined from the nectar of the flowering tentacular vine. Junshang always grew so terribly mopey when he felt rejected by his consort. None of that, of course, was the point. But that revelation was almost too big for Mobei Jun to look at all at once. I created him.
Isn't this taking advantage?
Qinghua yelled.
I accidentally created a whole real person to be my sexual plaything, and now I'm about to baby trap him in a trap that I also created. I'm pretty sure this isn't okay.
Simmer down, you're getting kind of hysterical,
Shun Qingqiu said.
I mean, you don't have to.
Qinghua let out a wordless yell of frustration.
Easy for you to freaking say. His powers got bound. You're not the one who created a whole power-binding baby trap and then let your king walk into it. Your king, who you accidentally made to be, like, a reflection of every single one of your personal sexy fantasies?
Ugh, Shun Qingqiu was saying. But Mobei Jun barely heard him, because he'd already turned around, shadows reaching out to engulf him. He'd been early. Qinghua wouldn't expect him for hours yet, so he had time to gather himself and to reflect on the things he'd just learned. The floor to Mobei Jun's bedroom was blessedly cool beneath him as he collapsed to his knees, yanked open his robes with one hand, and stuffed the other down his pants. He gasped out loud at the first touch on his rock-hard, aching cock.
I created my ideal man.
That admission from Qinghua, who'd complain all day long about a dozen meaningless things but not admit to one single thing he truly felt.
My ideal man.
Oh, his Qinghua, his beautiful creator god, and he'd created Mobei Jun for himself. He could have had anyone in the world. In this world that had Junshang in it, that housed a dozen perfect immortal beauties on the 12 peaks, but he'd made Mobei Jun for himself. He'd made him just the way he wanted him. He'd take him to the cave of boundless fecundity and fill him with his seed. He was going to choose Mobei Jun out of everyone to carry the child of a god. Mobei Jun spilled over his fist, gasping, curled in on himself, his forehead pressed to the cool tiles, almost blinded by the intensity of his climax. He rolled to his back when he was done, panting for breath. Clearly, he'd have to reassure Qinghua. Only Qinghua would get upset about a silly thing like this. Who could possibly object to being made the plaything of a god? Who wouldn't like to know that their lover had made them exactly to their tastes, and object of their desire, nothing but a hole for their cock and a vessel for their seed? Moe Jun dragged himself 3 steps across the room and collapsed onto his bed, his hand curling around his cock again. His cock, which had always been the perfect size to satisfy Ching Hua, which had been made for no other purpose than that. Surely not that much time had passed. Ching Hua couldn't be expecting him just yet. It was dark by the time Mo Beijun went staggering down the hallways of Jun Shang's palace on legs that felt like jelly. He found Ching Hua looking frazzled and exhausted, although he jumped to his feet as soon as Mo Beijun opened the door.
"My king!" he said.
"My king from a god. Who'd ever had such fortune as the heavens had bestowed upon Mo Beijun?"
"You're here. What happened? I thought you were going to be back hours ago. Those aren't the robes you were wearing. Was there a fight? Are you all right?"
Maybe a little more time had passed than Mo Beijun had realized while he'd been distracted. Mo Beijun resisted the urge to fiddle with the cuffs of the fresh robes he'd put on. He'd washed himself very thoroughly. And anyway, Ching Hua didn't have a demon's senses and probably wouldn't have smelled anything on him. But the tips of his ears grow hot regardless.
"Seriously, are you all right? What happened?"
Mo Beijun said, and then decided that the only way through this was forward. "I have considered your concerns. They are unfounded. Tomorrow we will enter the cave together."
"Oh,"
Ching Hua said, startled. He looked at Mo Beijun with wide eyes.
My king..."
His hands twisted anxiously in his lap. Mo Beijun caught them in his own, stroking the back of his wrists. It was sweet of him to be concerned, but unnecessary. Ching Hua always worried so much, and usually about the wrong things. "It will be all right," Mo Beijun said firmly. He was honored. There was not the least cause to be worried. He'd chosen this, and if he'd been created to make this choice, if he was nothing but a creature made to fulfill Ching Hua's every fantasy and bear his children inside his body, his exhausted cock gave a valiant, if slightly painful, twitch. Anyway, he thoroughly considered the matter. If he spent any more time considering, things were going to get chafed. It was best to get this done before Ching Hua could do any more overthinking of his own.
If my king is sure this is what he wants?"
"Very sure," Mo Beijun said.
"Well then,"
Ching Hua said quietly. He was staring down at their joined hands, and for a moment, Mo Beijun felt a stirring of unease. Ching Hua looked so tense, so uncertain.
"Well,"
Ching Hua repeated more firmly,
"yeah, I can do this."
And Mo Beijun got to watch as his anxious uncertainty shifted slowly to determination. The Cave of Boundless Fecundity was an easy half-day's travel from the Northern Palace, or a single step through the shadows. Despite it being well within the bounds of Mo Beijun's territory, the air inside was a temperature that humans would probably describe as balmy. For Mo Beijun, it bordered on the edge of the uncomfortable. He tugged at the collar of his robes, grateful to get a bit of air on his chest. Crystals set within the walls glowed with a warm, golden light. In the middle of the cavern, a large rock formation jutted from the floor, forming something like a dais. It was covered in a carpet of soft moss. At the foot of the dais, there was still the bright red streak of Mo Beijun's blood where it had splattered as he'd followed the devouring beast into the cavern. He'd not been able to access the full measure of his powers since. Once again, Mo Beijun could only be grateful for Ching Hua's limitless knowledge. for he'd known what to do as soon as Mobei Jun had described the cave to him. Without his help, Mobei Jun suspected he wouldn't have recovered his powers for a long time. The solution seemed hardly intuitive to him, after all. Although, knowing the purpose of the cave, he supposed that the shape of the dais was somewhat suggestive. Juncheng did tend to find dual cultivation the solution to many of life's problems, but Juncheng lived a rather more adventurous life than Mobei Jun did. Of course, Qinghua had also told him what would happen if they chose this solution. Any pair who dual cultivated in this cave would be blessed with a child, regardless of the gender of the participants. Was this what Qinghua had in mind when he'd created this cave? Was it Mobei Jun's body he'd imagined writhing on that bed-like dais? Was it Mobei Jun who'd been meant to receive the cave's gift? Mobei Jun he'd imagined filling with his fertile seed? The thought sent a bolt of arousal through him, although, realistically, Mobei Jun knew it was unlikely. After all, many places in the world might look suggestive, if one's mind was so inclined. It would be silly to imagine that every scenic spot in the wilds had been created solely for the purposes of dual cultivation.
"Mai Kang, are you sure?"
Qinghua said tentatively. Mobei Jun placed a hand on his own flat stomach, imagined it round and swollen, and smiled to himself. Qinghua was always so solicitous of his comfort. He may have created Mobei Jun to embody the very shape of his desires, and Mobei Jun really needed to not dwell on that too much before things even started, or he was going to make a poor showing on that dais. But he was not a cruel god, to claim his rights in the face of Mobei Jun's discomfort. Not that Mobei Jun thought he'd mind if Qinghua wanted to use him roughly, to claim him fully, to leave his mark.
"Mai Kang,"
Qinghua said again, interrupting Mobei Jun's delightful visions of claws and chains. He belatedly realized that he'd been asked a question. "This king is sure," he said, because Qinghua was starting to look anxious. Yes, if Qinghua wished it, he would not hesitate to bear him a child. But Qinghua didn't look reassured. He shifted nervously on his feet.
"Mai Kang, you'll take care of them, won't you?"
he blurted abruptly.
"I won't bear a child for you if they'll be an unwanted bastard."
The whole world shifted on its axis. Mobei Jun's breath caught painfully in his lungs. The picture rearranged itself. Qinghua was willing to carry the child? Mobei Jun's god. Not only had he chosen him, but he'd give him even this? And he felt he had to ask if it would be wanted? Mobei Jun had long realized that Qinghua was special, that he was powerful. But the powers he had now were those of a seer, not those of a warrior. And not the powers that could create a world either. Not anymore. Something must surely have happened to cast him into this world in so vulnerable a position. A god without his powers, with no followers but the one he created for himself. A god who, in his moment of vulnerability, had offered his service and his loyalty to Mobei Jun. And now he'd chosen to offer him this ultimate gift, and he didn't even know if it would be welcome. Qinghua. Mobei Jun managed, breathless. He went to his knees like a man making his bow to the heavens itself. Qinghua's hands trembled when he caught them in his own. "Qinghua, if you gave me an heir, I would treasure them beyond anything."
"Oh, well, if it's like that," Qinghua said. "Then yes, Mai Kang, I'd be very happy."
Qinghua squeaked as Mobei Jun bore him halfway across the room in three enormous steps and threw him down to bounce gently on the thick layer of moss. Mobei Jun kissed him hard, trying to show him all the things he didn't have words for. His god. Shang Qinghua's robes tore easily away under his claws. His stomach was soft and smooth, still flat now. but already so good to touch. Qinghua gasped when Mobei Jun spread his hands wide over the warm skin.
My king!
Yes, Mobei Jun said fervently. The words hit him like a bolt of lightning every time. A god offering allegiance to him. Qinghua's legs spread easily around his hips. They'd always fit together so well. Of course they did. Of course. Wasn't Mobei Jun made for this? He realized they were going to need supplies at the same time Qinghua started fumbling for the sleeves of his discarded robes. Of course he hadn't forgotten to bring the oil. It was the sort of detail Mobei Jun was always able to leave to him, because a god had condescended to run his life in the small ways as well as the large. Qinghua touched the side of his mouth, light as a butterfly.
You're smiling, my king.
Mobei Jun smiled often. Life was good, and Qinghua was funny. He supposed it didn't always show on his face. The corners of his mouth did feel a little strange right now. Qinghua, of course, had learned to tell when he was smiling regardless of what his face did, so Mobei Jun wasn't entirely sure why the sight pleased him so much now. Qinghua smiled too, even as Mobei Jun pushed one of his thighs up. Mobei Jun split his attention. He liked to watch Qinghua work his fingers inside himself, but he liked to look at his face like this, too. The little shifts in his expression, the way the corners of his eyes pinched when he pushed in a little too eagerly, his mouth falling open as he hit a good spot, the happy dimple in his cheeks. Mobei Jun touched that spot, feeling absurdly fond. You're going to carry my heir, he said. He found he liked saying it.
Yes,
Qinghua gasped.
Yes, my king, if you want me to. Do you want me to? Do you really?
This king has told you, Mobei Jun said, but Qinghua was still looking at him with wide, pleading eyes. Mobei Jun didn't like denying him things, despite the fact that the things he wanted were often strange and incomprehensible. Saying something twice was nothing, even though, of the things Qinghua liked to ask of him, words were the ones that came the hardest. You'll bear my child. It's good.
Yes. Oh, God, yes. Do it now. Put it in me. I'm ready. I want it.
Qinghua said, and he kept talking even as Mobei Jun pushed inside him, and his voice broke on a gasp because Qinghua always had words to spare, and he knew Mobei Jun liked to hear them.
It's good, my king, so good. Come inside me.
Mobei Jun forced himself to go slow, as he'd learned to do. Qinghua, when he'd created that part of him, had clearly envisioned a challenge for himself. But Qinghua was soft and yielding and eager for him, so he didn't have to hold back for very long. Qinghua clung to him with arms and legs, and his words were pleading now, goading him on.
Faster! Harder!
So Mobei Jun pulled out, flipped him over, and pushed back inside in a single smooth stroke. Qinghua on his knees in front of him, his shoulders flat on the bed and his belly cupped in Mobei Jun's hands. They might do it like this even when his stomach was large and swollen, when Mobei Jun would have to be careful with him. But for now, he could still pound into him, the way they both liked, could fill him with his seed. The thought struck him suddenly as one Qinghua might like to hear. He had to struggle for the words, which never came easy, and evade him even more so in the midst of pleasure. But it seemed appropriate to make an effort. I'm going to come inside you. You're going to carry a child for me, he said, and I'm very happy. The tone wasn't quite right. Mobei Jun had not, in his life, ever managed to sound warm, and he'd thought warmth might be called for here, but the attempt twisted his tongue till all the words came out flat. But Qinghua turned to look at him with wide, startled eyes, gasped and came without a hand on him, so he thought the effort might have been appreciated regardless. Ching-Hua went limp and boneless after, a heavy weight in Mo Bei-jun's grasp. Surrendering himself to Mo Bei-jun's pleasure, a vessel for him to fill, as Mo Bei-jun was a vessel for his desires, Mo Bei-jun came hard. A lot. Seed striped down Ching-Hua's thighs when Mo Bei-jun pulled out, and ordinarily he might have licked it up, but today he scooped it up on his fingers, claws carefully retracted, and pushed it back inside. Ching-Hua gasped and shuddered, oversensitive as he always was after taking his pleasure. But he spread his thighs and bowed his back in a beautiful arch. So Mo Bei-jun kept doing it until he'd pushed all of it back inside. And then he carefully arranged Ching-Hua on his side, curled up around him, and let his eyes drift closed in deep satisfaction. Not much time had passed when he woke, but Mo Bei-jun felt deeply refreshed. Power crackled under his skin, and when he stretched out one hand, the frost came easily to his call. He dismissed the ice and rubbed his hand against his side to warm it before he touched Ching-Hua's skin. Ching-Hua was curled up tight against him, snuffling a little in his sleep, soft and warm. His living qi was bright in Mo Bei-jun's senses, but there'd been no change at all to the familiar feel of it. Mo Bei-jun spread his hand on Ching-Hua's stomach, which was as flat as it had always been. It was early, still. He didn't know how soon he was meant to be able to tell. Ching-Hua woke up with a little start, as he often did, although he relaxed back into Mo Bei-jun's arms as soon as he realized where he was. But then a bit of tension crept back inside him. Ching-Hua put a hand on his stomach, just as Mo Bei-jun had a moment ago, and Mo Bei-jun felt his qi flare. Ching-Hua stiffened, the corners of his mouth tightened. Mo Bei-jun stayed silent. Ching-Hua would tell him if there was something he needed to know. Until then, he could wait.
"My king,"
Ching-Hua started. His voice was a little unsteady. Mo Bei-jun tightened his arms around him, trying to project encouragement, although Ching-Hua's tension didn't lessen.
"My king, I need to go speak to Peak Lord Shun. I just want to..."
Mo Bei-jun waited, but for once, words seemed to be failing Ching-Hua. Mo Bei-jun could sympathize. "If you want to go, we'll go," Mo Bei-jun said. He rolled to his feet, bringing Ching-Hua along. Ching-Hua's robes hung in shreds around him, where Mo Bei-jun had gotten carried away undressing him. He looked small and a little cold. Mo Bei-jun took off his cloak and draped it over Ching-Hua's shoulders. An ice blade came easily to his hand. His powers thrummed inside him as strongly as they ever had. At least this part of the ritual had not failed. He stretched his hand out to call down the shadows.
Ching-Hua said. When I speak with Peak Lord Shun, I should... alone?
I will leave then, Mo Bei-jun said.
It's not... is it a problem? I'm sure you don't mind. We're just going to discuss... it's probably going to be... boring, or...
This king does not mind, Mo Bei-jun said. He found Jun Shang's consort somewhat baffling, and Ching-Hua's affection for him more so, but he did not object to it. In fact, didn't it make more sense in the light of this new revelation, and the fact that Shun Qingqiu appeared to have known all along? "He's not only your friend, he's your... ramen." No, that wasn't right, and the puzzled frown on Shang Ching-Hua's face proved it. Mo Bei-jun cast through his memories. Quan Fen? Fen Tiao? No, some other kind of noodle. Fen Si. He's your Fen Si. That was it, he was sure. A word he'd heard Ching-Hua and Shun Qingqiu use before. Something from their largely unintelligible hometown dialect. In which you called someone a great rice noodle when you meant to say they were an admirer. Mobe Jun thought this was probably related to their custom of making noodle soup for someone to prove that you cared for them greatly. That was a custom Shun Qingqiu clearly shared, as Jun Sheng cooked for him often to show his regard. Qinghua spluttered.
He really wouldn't like to hear you say that. Ha, poor cucumber bro. He's gonna get so mad if I tell him you called him my fan.
Shun Qingqiu, Mobe Jun had found, would take offense to any number of things. His objections didn't always make a great amount of sense. Is he not? Would he not make you noodle soup if you asked?
If I was starving to death, maybe. And if they were, like, instant noodles. Actually, he'd probably tell Bingha to do the cooking.
Yes, that was as it should be, Mobe Jun thought, satisfied. Qinghua had not been left with only one follower, after all. He had his Fancy to stand by him in times of great calamity, a man with powerful forces at his command. Bingha, Qinghua had said, not Junshang. Qinghua often spoke informally of their lord when they were in private. It used to worry Mobe Jun, but it didn't anymore. Why should it, when Qinghua's follower could command even the great Junshang to do his bidding? He took Qinghua through the shadows to the halls of Junshang's palace, but left him to go inside alone. The corridors outside Shang Qinghua's private quarters were deserted, as usual. Junshang didn't like to tolerate even servants inside his consort's quarters, going so far as to clean his rooms himself. Mobe Jun didn't pretend to understand all of Junshang's whims. Qinghua had wanted to meet with his follower alone, so Mobe Jun made sure to be very quiet as he pressed his ear to the door. If there was something Qinghua was ashamed to reveal to him, it would be awful to embarrass him by getting himself caught. The door wasn't particularly thick, but at first he could barely hear anything. Qinghua's voice was tremulous, too low to make out his words. Shun Qingqiu's reply, by contrast, was easily audible, his voice rising in incredulity.
What do you mean, you're not sure? You're a cultivator. I wasn't sure, all right. Excuse me if this is a kind of stressful situation for me.
Another silence. A flare of qi, both Qinghua's and Shun Qingqiu's. And then Shun Qingqiu said something indistinct and quiet, his voice softer than Mobe Jun was used to hearing it. Silence.
Hey, are you okay?
Shun Qingqiu sounded deeply uncomfortable. He did not like emotional displays of any kind, Mobe Jun knew, but his voice was still kind. Mobe Jun pressed his ear to the door, straining, but even so he couldn't quite catch the quiet reply. Only Shun Qingqiu's voice in response.
What happened to "I'm not ready for a baby"? Well, I wasn't. This all happened kind of suddenly, you know. But it was for my king,
Qinghua said heatedly.
I wanted...
His voice cracked. Mobe Jun's hands strained against the door.
If it's with him, then of course I want... Do you think he's going to be disappointed? How would I know?
Shun Qingqiu snapped.
Didn't you ask him? How would anyone know how he feels about anything? Does he even have facial expressions? Isn't he just, like, slightly angry all the time? Bro!
Qinghua's voice rose, and then there was another long moment of silence.
I guess I'm gonna go tell him. You'd better,
Shun Qingqiu said.
Are you gonna be...
He made an unhappy sound that Mobe Jun could hear clearly even through the door.
You gonna be okay? Yeah, sure. Fine, yeah.
Qinghua said. Shun Qingqiu sighed.
Are you sure you didn't just miscount or something? How did you even manage 7 times in a single night?
There was a long, strangely weighty pause.
7 times?
Ching Hua said slowly.
Yeah, you know, 7 times. 1 to restore lost power, and then another 6 rounds to, oh, how did you put it? Receive the gift of boundless fecundity?
Shen Qingqiu said, his voice fairly dripping with disdain.
Presumably because some goddamn hack wanted to write breeding kink but didn't actually want to deal with the pitter-patter of little feet getting in the way. So he came up with this idiotic twist and just dropped 200 pages worth of will they or won't they build up. Are you seriously telling me you forgot? Bro!
Ching Hua said, cutting into the rant. He sounded close to tears.
Are you okay?
Shen Qingqiu asked.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I didn't put in that many plot devices that'll still work if it's 2 men, and I thought, if this one doesn't work, I mean, I don't even know if the crevice of creation ever opened in this timeline. Without the merging of the realms, I just thought, you know, this might be our only chance. Well, so, there it is. All you gotta do is go back and do, you know, 6 more times,
Shen Qingqiu said gruffly.
Bro, oh god.
Ching Hua's voice cracked tremulously.
Am I even ready for a baby? Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Shen Qingqiu started, but Mo Mei Jun didn't wait to hear the rest of what he wanted to say. The heavy door swung into the wall with a bang as Mo Bei Jun strode into the room. This king is very young yet. If Ching Hua is not ready, he would not begrudge him more time, he said. He folded Ching Hua firmly into his arms, ignoring the startled squeak and the automatic flailing of his arms. Ching Hua always settled more quickly if he was already firmly wrapped up. Shen Qingqiu watched him with an eyebrow raised.
Were you listening at the door?
Ching Hua was upset, Mo Bei Jun said. Shen Qingqiu groaned.
Why are demons just like that all the time?
Mo Bei Jun ignored that, blissfully secure in the knowledge that if demons were any one particular way, they were that way because Ching Hua had liked for them to be. There is no hurry, he told Ching Hua.
Are you sure? My king, if you wanted...
Yes, this king knows, but there is no hurry, Mo Bei Jun said, patiently repeating a thing he'd already said, as he only ever did for Ching Hua. What was waiting another decade or two in comparison to that? We will wait until Ching Hua is ready. The cave wasn't going anywhere, securely within the boundaries of his kingdom as it was. In fact, maybe it wouldn't hurt to go back once or twice. Even 3 times would safely keep the total below 7 after all. Mo Bei Jun cupped his hand briefly over the flat expanse of Ching Hua's stomach and then tucked him firmly against his side. Say goodbye to your fancy, he said, and heard Shen Qingqiu's spluttering fade out into the distance as the shadows closed around them.
The end.
Strike up a battle horn. Let's talk to your second name. Come, congregation, let's sing.
Author's notes. Fancy is a Chinese loanword for fan, but literally means a type of rice noodle.
If you enjoyed this podfic and would like to leave feedback, you're more than welcome to do so. You can find this podfic at the post wherever you originally found this podfic, and you can find a link to the text post where you can leave feedback for the author in a link in that podfic post. Thanks for listening!